In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, sing the song with me. I know you know it.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life with favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life with favor, 'cause I know who I am. Require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am.
You are in the Word of God, not what you think. around you, but what the Word of God says. So go to somebody and say, hello. God says, I'm a conqueror. Go to somebody else and say, hello. God says, I'm an overcomer. Hello. Hi, Shelly. God says, I'm rich. Hi, Tamia. God says, I have access. Hi, Bruce. God says, I have more than enough. Doesn't that feel good? It doesn't matter what our circumstances right now. We have to celebrate on what the Word of God says about us, right? So everybody clap with me. We're going to celebrate this morning. Sing Walking in Power.
I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor. Because I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor. Because I know who I am. Shining as the sun. With give you all of me. I give you all of me.
Come on, sing it out.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you
Hallelujah.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Lord, your word says that you will fill those who hunger and thirst after you. Lord, that we are to be like that deer that pants after the water brooks. Today, Jesus, we want you to know that our hearts are after you. God, this world is busy. This world can be distracting. But Lord, we arrest ourselves and we put ourselves in the place that is the greatest process for positioning. And that is, we want you, Jesus, more than we've ever wanted you before. God, our eyes and our hearts are focused on you. We long for you this morning, Christ. And we declare that you are a good God and you love us so much. And we honor you this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You want to sing that one more time? Just with all that you got with your belly. Make it be your prayer that saturates you for the entire week. As that's happening, God is healing somebody's Achilles heel on your right foot. Start moving around, and God, you'll feel the pain all gone in Jesus' name. Go.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Floodgates of heaven.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, this is your service. You can do whatever you want here. It's not, Lord, we have things all planned. You know, God, we have things in order. But Holy Spirit, our heart is that you will show our God so powerful this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you care about every situation in our life. And that when the anointing goes through, it destroys every yoke of bondage. So Jesus, no matter what our trial is today, we fix our eyes on you. And we declare, Jesus, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That God, there is no bondage that has a right to hold us down. And that Jesus, we have victory in every situation. Not because of what we've done, but because of what you have done. And we rejoice in your goodness. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. There was an individual during worship From your elbow, it goes all the way down to your right pinky. God is healing you. I want to give praise. Brother Steve gave me a testimony yesterday. God healed his shoulder. And we got a testimony this morning from Tammy Johnson that God, she had a horrible kidney pain and had kidney 8 millimeter, I believe it was, kidney stone. And it's all, there's no more pain after being prayed for. I believe it was yesterday. God healed her. God heals. God loves to heal you. Turn to someone and say, God wants to heal you. It doesn't matter what disease is in your life. It doesn't matter what sickness in your life. Jesus, his will is to heal you. So don't you just let it just stay on you. Fight it in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Grab a hold. Grab a hold of your covenant rights because God has great things for your life. Can I hear an amen? On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least 5 folks you don't know and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Thank you, Brother Steve.
He's saying, but it's so good to be with you this morning. Are you happy to be here this morning? pressed because it is 9 a.m. service and it is pretty packed. So I would say that's pretty impressive. You'll see the young adults are missing, but come on, you got to excuse the millennials. They need a little bit more sleep. But we're so excited to be here this morning. If you're a guest in this place, would you just raise your hand? We want to welcome you to our family. It's so good to have you. I don't know if I see any hands. Would you just put your hand up? We do have one hand. The ushers are going to get a gift packet to you. We just want to welcome you. And then we also want to invite you right after service. Through this door, we have guest reception, and that is it gives you a chance to meet some of the pastoral team, hear the vision of the church, what we're about, and why we love to have you here. Also, if you are watching via live stream, we want to welcome you. We love you. Thank you for joining in this morning.
And we also want to remind everybody that we have a Next Steps program that every single person should be involved with. How many of you guys are in step one, rock solid faith? If you're not in there, we want to challenge you to go to step one, rock solid faith. We have it Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Yes. That's pastor's class, obviously. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. And then Thursday night at 6 p.m. And then we want to let you know that the step two spiritual warfare class starts June 6th. Is anybody signed up for that, ready to go? If you haven't yet and you've accomplished step one, make sure you sign up for step two. Make sure that you graduate from step one before you go into step two. I know math is, you know, a great thing to have, but one goes first and then two.
All right, say this after me. June 17th, we are having an uproar park cleanup. All right, now what that is we're heading over to Eldridge Park and we are cleaning up everything that's going on there. I want to tell you, we did that last year and the people that were just there came up to us and was like, wow, what an amazing job. And we got to share Jesus through giving an act of kindness. And so June 17th, Pastor Cody has got more details, but we would love to have you come support our youth for Uproar Conference coming up.
And then June 18th, which is Father's Day. So for all the dads out there, we are heading over to Dunfield, where we partner with Dunfield and many other companies. And we do an amazing Father's Day event. And it gives you an opportunity just to have some family time. So Father's Day, let me continue with my announcement. Father's Day, June 18th. Dunfield, we have free tickets to get into. It's a baseball field, and you can play catch afterwards. Pastor Spencer preaches a quick sermon at the end. It's just an awesome family event, and tickets are available right over at the hub, so you can get in there for free. So make sure you grab your ticket today. And then the real reason we're doing announcements today is because we want to let you guys know that Awaken, in our weekly meetings, we're going to transition into a monthly service. And our very first monthly service is going to be June 11th. So if you're between 18 years old and 30 year old, stick your hand up real quick. Raise your hand loud. Yeah, Pastor Obi's pretty excited about that. It's a Sunday night at 5:30. There are some people that are definitely not 18 to 30 raising their hands, but we still love you guys very much. So June 11th, 5:30 p.m., we are having a carnival-themed event. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a dunk tank. We're going to have deep-fried Oreos. We're going to have some games. So Brittany Gilbert is going to be in the dunk tank. But whoever brings the most guests after service, they get three shots at me to put me in the dunk tank. So I want to hear challenge accepted, whoever brings the most people. So that is June 11th, 5:30 p.m., and we want to see you there if you're between 18 and 30. Childcare is provided. We love you guys. Pastor Rhonda is going to come up and give the offering message now.
That was awesome. I think Chad just loves to hear the sound of his wife's voice. Isn't that wonderful? We get such a treat every time she talks. Thank you, Chad and Jade. We're transitioning now into the time of tithes and offerings, and I love this time because it's not about the money. It's about our covenant with Jesus. You see, there's a lot of things we have to pay money to. We have to pay our taxes. They take your taxes. At the grocery store, we have to pay our bill. We have to pay debts to the bank. But when it comes to our money and God, He doesn't take our money. He wants us to give with a joyful heart. And above all those other things, being good stewards and all of those other things, shouldn't we give good stewardship to the weightier things, the kingdom things? And God's word says, bring the tithe, which is 10%, into the storehouse. So He asks us to do that. And you know, He's the owner of everything anyways. He has created everything. He's given us the breath and the life and the talents and the gifts and the favor that we have to begin with. We want to enter into covenant with Him with our finances. So if you're ready this morning to give with a cheerful heart and enter into covenant kingdom finances, where we will declare the blessings of God when we stand to our feet together. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is the covenant. This is the covenant that we enter into when we obey and give with a cheerful heart our tithes and offerings to the Lord out of love for Him. Let's repeat Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. It's my covenant. I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Tithes and offerings to the Lord. You can also text to give. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
We are a chosen generation called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. I am holy.
Wasn't that good? What an amazing worship team. I'm so blessed. These are folks that have grown up in the house. Amen. It's exciting to see our homegrowners, and it's exciting to see them growing and maturing in the gospel. Many people don't realize how blessed we are at this church, but we are phenomenally blessed with the presence of the Lord.
And there are many churches where God's presence isn't felt at all. And I just want to give God a great praise this morning for always showing up here. Amen. We love you, Father. We thank you so much. We also want to recognize all those. This is Memorial Day weekend. We have parades tomorrow, two parades. And we always march in the parades. We've done this for, I think, 17 to 18 years. We've marched in all the parades. Why do we do that? Because we want the world to know that the church isn't shut up in a little building. Amen? The church is supposed to be where the world is. And we're supposed to have the light of God shining out to our community. So make sure you're praying tomorrow. And we're going to be marching in the Elmira Parade and also the Horseheads Parade for Memorial Day. And we also want to celebrate all those that have served in this building. And there are many people, even yesterday I was sharing, there are young men and young women today that are overseas in harm's way. They're getting shot at today. They're being separated from their children. They're separated from their spouse. They're separated from their country. They're separated from their families. And we are so blessed because we get to sit in this building today because of them. Amen? And how many have given their lives so that we could be sitting here today? We are a very blessed country. Can I hear an amen? You know, I know this last election was very divisive, and I just want to say there should never be division in the family of God. We might not always agree politically, but the one thing is we are not political first, we are kingdom first. Amen? And it's about people, and God loves people. And there are people overseas that and people that have served in this place that we just want to give honor to. So if you have served in the armed forces, we'd like you to stand up. We're not going to embarrass you, but we're going to pray and celebrate you this morning. We have Brother Bonomo. He's still in the Marines. He's heading back, I believe, tomorrow. Amen. Thank you. Come on, give him another hand clap. Thank you so much for serving. Thank you so much. We're honored to have you in the room this morning. And we just like to pray. Father, we pray right now for those young men and young women that, Lord, are in harm's way today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the many families that their loved one had died so that we could be here today. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'll bless the families, that, Lord, you'll surround those that are in harm's way today in Jesus' name, that, Lord, you'll let them know that there are churches across the world that are praying for them, and, Lord, their homegrown house is praying in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just thank you for all that they have done for you and for the country. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Today is the last message of why? Why? How many of you have asked why? 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 And you've always wanted to know why, but some people have never asked why, and some people have asked why and have never been told why. But in this house, we are okay with the why question. I want you to know God is big enough to handle your whys. Amen? I said God is big enough to handle your whys. While we're just getting ready, why don't you turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. While you're turning, if you have your phone, if you'll jump on Facebook and check in, that would be awesome. So that you'll just check in at His Tabernacle. We'd love to have you on that site. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Why? Today I'm going to cover the last one, which is, why do churches always ask for money? Woo, come on. How many of you have had somebody ask you that before? How many of you have said that before? Boy, you're awful timid. I said, how many of you have said that before? Yeah, come on, there are more hands. I know that. So have you ever met somebody that said, well, I'm not going back to church. All they want is your money. We've heard it. We've heard it. We've heard it. So why? Why do churches ask for money? It's a great question. And you know what? The truth is, churches do ask for money. We're not going to lie. In fact, I'll be honest with you. We want your money. Turn to somebody and say, he wants our money. It's the truth. And I'm going to explain why this morning, because you have a right to know. In fact, this is one of my favorite whys. Why is this? Well, because when you find out why, you're going to have to answer it. You're going to have to respond to it. Remember, God is a God of response. And so when you find out why, you're going to need to respond to the why, because it's a valid question. Why do churches always ask for money? The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted. Everybody shout devoted. Come on, shout devoted. One more time, shout devoted. Devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, the word mammon there actually means money. It's interesting to me how we view money. Whether you like it or not, this world revolves around money. I said this world revolves around money. How many of you go to work? And I know the only reason you go to work is because you have friends there and you just want to say hi all day long. Right? That's why you go to work. You don't go to work to get paid. Why? Well, let's be honest. Listen, you go to work because of money. Amen. Some of you need to go to work. Can I hear an amen? You go to work because you want to make. Is this that hard of a topic for you this morning? I said you go to work because you want to make. You go to the supermarket because you want to spend. Your car demands gas, which means. Some of you sell things. I see it because it's on Facebook on the Craigslist or sell around me thing. And why are you selling things? Well, because, you know, I'm not really selling. I'm just giving away all my things. No, you're not. You're selling it because you want, whether you like it or not, this world revolves around money and your life revolves around money. As much as it's become an uncomfortable topic in the body of Christ, and it's because so many people wonder why churches want money. Because the world revolves around money, and everything in our life is centered around money. Well, you know, brother, it's not true. My life is centered on Jesus. Well, listen, I pray you spend as much time in prayer as you do working to get your money. Our lives are completely surrounded with money. Isn't it amazing how the diabolical world has made money such a bad topic within the church? And what it's done is it's actually defunded the kingdom to where God's kingdom cannot do God's work the way it needs to be done. You know what's more powerful than the devil? Is money. Oh, pastor, no, the devil is more powerful than money. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. He didn't say three masters. He didn't say you could serve either God, Satan, or money. No, he said there are only two masters. How many? You and I are serving one or the other. You see, this question is so powerful because really it is an answer in and of itself. We answer our own question, why do churches always want money? We answer that with our own lifestyle, because we either are serving one master or the other master. We're either serving God, the King of Kings, or we're serving. Boy, it is quiet in this room this morning. You know, Jesus knew this was going to be such a popular topic. He knew it was going to be such a hot topic that he actually dealt with it. Now listen now. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell. Jesus talked more about money than any other topic but the kingdom of God. 11 of the 39 parables are talking about. Listen to this. I love this one. In the book of Luke, one out of every seven verses is talking about. Did you know that? You see, it's such a popular topic because, listen, it's not just in this age that it's been an issue. This question hasn't been just in this age. This question has been throughout the ages. And what's happened is, if we don't answer this question, then people are going to walk around with no answer to when somebody says to you, well, listen, I don't go to church because all they want is your money. And you have to have an answer to give to everyone who would ask you according to your faith. Now listen, this is imperative. Why is it imperative? Because if they believe it's only about money, then they have forgotten the whole principle of the kingdom of God, which is sowing and reaping, that God is the owner, and that you and I as believers should have absolute access, not ownership. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So I have to ask myself a question. Now, you see, when I'm preparing these messages, I can't just prepare them out of my own head. I have to ask the questions that people are asking. And the question is, why is this an issue? Why is this an issue? I'll give you two reasons. How's that? Number one is because people have seen too much abuse with money in the church. Now, let's just be straight up. We've seen some people do some really dumb things. We've seen ministers, they have raped and pillaged the body of Christ. I have some favorite ones that I like to watch just so I can laugh. And one of them was my favorite. He used to have a satellite dish. We were just talking about this yesterday. And he would sit in front of the satellite dish. He was a brilliant, brilliant theologian. He would sit in front of the satellite dish, and he'd be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he had a big stogie sticking out of his mouth. He had his cocktail in his hand, sitting in a big leather chair with a large screen TV behind him with his race horses showing. Now, my favorite show that he ever did was this one. He sat there and he says, "Listen, I hear some of you complaining about giving." He said, "It's none of your blank business what I do with your money. That's between me and God. If I want to buy racehorses with your money, I'll buy racehorses. If I want to drink with your money, I'll drink." He said, "And I'm not teaching one more word until you send me $300 more. Not $300, $300,000. Now listen, he had $300,000 within 3 hours. It amazed me as he sat there. We also know of the evangelists that were on TV that, you know, they were doing a lot of things and a lot of people and a lot of other people. And they were doing a lot of things they shouldn't have been doing. And they're just raking in the coins and all this abuse. Some of you might have seen different abuses that are more local, and you've watched pastors abuse finances. And so the equation is, well, you know what? You know, I'm not giving my money because it's all about money to them. It's all about them getting more and more and more. What's amazing is that it's not about how much money you have. It's what you do with the money you do have. It's about learning the principles of heaven so that God is your source. And when God is your source, let me tell you something, you'll always know that God's blessing will be on your life as you do the principles of the kingdom. You know, in this house, it's important that you recognize that my wife and I never see the money. You need to know that. You see, churches, the IRS is pretty tight. I don't know if you know that or not, but the IRS, they get really uptight with churches that are larger. And they want to make sure that you're running things properly. You know, so much to where you're not allowed as a pastor, you're not allowed to count the money. You're supposed to have 3 separate counters that are non-related. Now, we comply with the IRS. Why? Because we don't want to have problems with them. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And you see, there's a whole process of accountability. Accountability is so powerful. And I just want to let you know a little bit about here, because we try to do things with the utmost of integrity. Number one, my wife and I don't see the money. We don't see a dollar bill. It is counted up in a room, and sometimes I go up and knock on the door, and Miss Carla looks at me, she says, "Get out." She's not always nice. I just want you to know that. She's mean to me sometimes. Get out. And so we don't see the cash or anything like that. It's counted. In fact, once it leaves here, it's gone in the possession of 2 people that are bringing up. They have to sign for it. Once it's put into the safe, it's closed up and so forth. The next day, everything is taken care of when it deals with the finances according to the IRS law. Then it's deposited. And then the only thing that we see is what is actually given at the end of the day, a total amount. And with that, we know how we need to pray to see the vision, make sure it's continuing to go forward. From there, we also, it's important to you know that there's always 2 signatures on every single check. And then we have an outside CPA out in Colorado that every month all the information is sent to, and he does a full compilation for our bank and for anybody. If you've ever been to our annual business meeting, it's one of the most detailed annual business meetings you'll ever sit in your life. Why is that? Because I've always recognized that there are two ways the enemy will try to destroy a church. Number one, if he can attack the integrity of the pastor, if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. But also, if they're not integrity within the finances, then people stop giving. People stop trusting. And with that, the church itself will decline. So one of the main reasons I find that many people, especially worldly people, they ask this question or make that statement, all the church wants is your money, is because they've seen such huge abuse. But you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can I hear an amen? Just because some people have been dumb doesn't mean that the whole are foolish. And with that, there's a level of accountability that has to be in process to make sure that every single person is in order. So some people ask that question or make that statement simply because they've seen the abuse. But you've got to be able to make a stand. And you've got to be able to say, listen, I've gone to the annual business meeting. You know what's amazing, even at His Tabernacle? The annual business meeting every single year, we have on average, I think we had a large average this year at 50. It was like, whoa, we got a landslide. It's amazing how many people in the body don't want to hear about the finances of the church, but yet many will complain about the finances of the church. The number one reason why this question is asked has nothing to do with money. The number one reason that this question and this statement is declared has not one thing to do with a green dollar bill that's a piece of paper that's not even worth what it's printed on. The real issue deals with heart. Giving has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with heart. And today, this is an issue that Jesus had already dealt with. He dealt with it in the book of Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 16, and he said this. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There is none good, no, not one, that is God. But one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, it says this, keep the commandments. And he said to Jesus, which ones? Jesus said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, you should not steal, false witness, honor your mother and father, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to Jesus with a great excitement within his heart. He said, all these things I have kept from my youth, but do I still lack? Oh, he probably shouldn't have asked that last question. Jesus said to him, if you give to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Money, this is where there is a difference between money having you and you having money. A lot of church folk have a real bad attitude with people that have great wealth. I want you to know that wealth or poverty has nothing to do with spirituality. You can be absolutely poor and stingy, come on now, and greedy. In fact, I'll be honest, I have found more poor people that are greedy than rich people. And then I found rich people that are in the same posture. Money has nothing to do with your position of your heart. Money just reveals it. Money reveals really what you believe. Money reveals whether it be the lack of money or the excess of money. Money actually shows, because now you have either liberty or confinement to actually declare what you believe in your own heart concerning the finances. So why do churches always ask for money? It's not a question that has anything to do with money, but it has everything to do with the heart, because usually the people asking that question are the people that don't give. You very rarely will ever hear a church folk that gives ask that question. It's always those that are not givers that ask that question. Or people of the world that will ask that question. But folks that tithe every week and people that sow every week and people that are givers at, every week never ask that question. Why? Because their heart is in a position where they know this has nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with obedience and following the principles of God's life. And I'm not going to serve the master money. I'm going to serve God. Oh, we've got awful quiet in this building. Well, you shouldn't have asked the question then. Remember last week, and I've been saying it for a while, is whenever I preach a message, I always ask Jesus this. If you were standing here, what would you say to them? And so I asked him, you know, when I finishing out the message, I said, Jesus, if you're the one standing up behind the pulpit, and you know, one of these days I'll come in with a beard and a nice robe and everything like that. Jesus, what would you say? Why is the church always asking for money? And Jesus' answer would be, because I told them to. Probably not the answer you wanted. But Jesus would say, because I told them to. The fact is that Jesus is the one who talked about money. Jesus is the one who warned us about money. Jesus is the one who told us that you have to give. It wasn't that it was a religious mandate. This is Christ teaching us the principles of giving and receiving, the principles of the kingdom of God, the keys of the kingdom, which is sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is not natural law. This is spiritual law. So when we start talking about giving, we start talking about money, it has nothing to do with greenbacks. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with sowing. It has to do with following. It has to do with obedience. And I've just been overwhelmed over the years as, you know, I tiptoed through the tulips for so many years. I hid things. Did you know I hid things? I would get blessed. Somebody would give me something. And I would hide it because people would always say to me, ha, yeah, he's taking it off of the. I had a man one time, I remember the very first Harley Davidson I bought. It was called an FXD. It was a smaller Harley, and it was a Dynaglide and in that family. And I bought the motorcycle, and I rode it to church. And a man came up to me after church, and he said, so how much did you take out of the offering plate for that one? I said, huh? He said, well, I'm not coming back to this church because you're riding a Harley. And I said, you ride a Harley. And he says, but you're the preacher. Preachers aren't supposed to have enough to ride a Harley. For years, I tiptoe. Trying to balance. I don't want anybody to think that I'm too blessed. I don't want anybody to think that, wow, you know, look at Pastor, he's got this and that. Yeah, you know, he's just taking it all from the church. IRS law says I can't even be in the office when they figure out my salary. I have no say in what I make. But the saddest part was that I felt I had to tiptoe. Why did I feel I had to tiptoe? Because the rumors have gone around. I live in a $2.5 million house or $1.5 million house on the lake. That's a log cabin. I drive a Lamborghini. What was some of the other things that we drive? We just got all this stuff. I keep telling, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. But for years, I was afraid because people would always say this. They'd always look at the church and say, all the church wants is your money so the pastor can get more. You know, it's warped, folks. But the worst part is that the body of Christ actually believes that too. Now, how do we know that the body of Christ actually believes that? Because national statistics say that only 8% of Christians tithe. That means 92% of believers serve money more than they serve God. They trust the greenbacks more than they trust Christ. Just looking for tomatoes. It's an amazing understanding that the body of Christ, and I want to give God praise here at this house, we're at 13% tithers in this house. I was kind of mocking a little, you know, I really didn't want to hand clap. That means that 87% of this house doesn't believe in tithing. It would be amazing to recognize that how many people do not follow in the principles of God's word. And what ends up happening is we can't be shocked when the world says to us, it's all about money, when the church is saying it's all about money. Because if we didn't believe it was all about money, then we would be givers. Am I all right? It's getting dangerous in there. I can see it in their eyeballs. I'm just praying no one has a gun. Hallelujah. It amazes me how many people stop going to certain places because of money. I'm not going to a gas station one more time because all they want is my money. I'm not going to the supermarket because I have to stand in that line and they scan all my stuff and then say, I want money. My last time going to a restaurant, I don't know who she thinks she is. I got served a T-bone steak, medium rare with mashed potatoes, with a glob of butter on top with a little gravy on the side, with an asparagus with Asiago's cheese melted over top. Glory be to God. I had a bun roll that was hot with butter, honey. Glory to Jesus. And when I ate it, I had to eat just one more. I had a nice little drink on the side. I had a Coca-Cola. And then I had afterwards, I had a banana cream pie dessert. Can I hear everybody shout? Amen. But then, who did she think she was? She came to our table with a little black satchel. And she said, here's the bill. I'm never going back to that restaurant. All they want is my money. Now, how many here have complained about your cable company before? How many have called them and said, excuse me? But even though they did not give you what you were expecting, you still paid them. Oh, Jesus, help us all. Pastor, I want you to know, I went to the movies the other day, and I was going to watch, I don't know, Wonder Woman. And I got up to that desk, and I smelled the popcorn, and I started to salivate as I looked over and I saw the Milk Duds, because you got to take Milk Duds, and you got to melt them in your mouth while you're eating the popcorn and slowly drinking the mixture of Sprite and lemonade. You can eat a whole bag. You're sitting there, and you're getting ready to order your movie, and then she says, Do you have a card? Excuse me? I almost said the name of the company. That's why I had to stop. Well, what do you mean? Well, it's going to cost $18 to go see that movie. Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm never going to the movies again. You want money for me to go see a movie? You want me to go in there and then pay you another $20 for popcorn with Milk Duds with a little bit of Sprite and lemonade mix? You want me to pay you what? I'm never going to the movies again. How many of you have been to the movies in the last 2 months? How many of you will never go to the movies again? There are going to hands go up. Amen. Do you know what the issue is with all of those things? It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with value. What you value is what you are going to put your money towards. When you go to the movies, and my wife and I love the movies, and we love to get the popcorn with Milk Duds, and sometimes I just don't want the Milk Duds. I just want, you know, like the M&Ms, and you put the M&Ms in the hot popcorn. And so when you pull the M&Ms out, they've already melted in your mouth. Glory to Jesus. But the truth is that the reason we go and we spend, it can be up to $40 to go to the movies now. When you go $40 for two people, why do I do that? Because there's value in spending time with my wife where she can't yell at me. I'm just kidding. This is all about value. You put gas in your car because you value where you're going. You buy certain foods because you value those foods. You go to the restaurant and will pay, some of us will pay $50, $75 at the end of an evening for a meal. And guess what? You're not paying for the meal. You're paying for the value of what you perceive it to be. So giving has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with value. And what happens in the body of Christ is that the church is dating God but not married to God. They are not kingdom-minded, they're religion-minded. And so when we look at church, it's all about our survival and not about God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We'll trust the government before we'll trust Christ. Come on now. We put our value and our trust in things that have no long-term immense opportunity in our lives. God is telling us to get back to obedience. Listen, I've heard everybody say, I had a couple, they were older couple. I said younger, but I meant younger, older. And it was all about money. All about money. They had nothing. But their life was so surrounded with the dollar bills that they had, they could make that nickel scream till it was a quarter. It has to do with value in your life. And every one of us values something. I thank God you valued to come to the house of the Lord this morning, because there's literally hundreds that did not. Where you place your time and where you place your money are your core values, and that is where you find your value. And wherever your value is placed, that is where you're going to spend your time and your finances. But if you do not spend time or finances, listen now, as a pastor and as I do training with many pastors, one of the things I say to them is, what are your core values? And their core values, as we're going through their 10-year destiny statement, they always say, well, it's to reach the lost. And I'll say, how much money did you spend in reaching the lost last year? Well, you know, nothing. Then you don't love lost people. Our pocketbooks tell us where we value things. So why do churches always ask for money? It's not about asking for money. It's about asking for value. What do you value? And listen now, I value, first of all, my obedience to God. God said in the book of Leviticus, chapter 30, verse, I believe it's 17, 20, excuse me, 27, verse 30, says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether seed of the land or fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Malachi, chapter 3, talks about robbing God. Will a man rob God? And they said, well, how have we robbed you? He said it with your tithe and with your offering. You see, we've got to get back to a position and a place where we understand even that verse, because when you go to verse 7, it says, listen, you have walked away from me. And they said, how have we walked away from you? And that's when he said, with your tithe and your offering, because even money has to do with your relationship. Your finances have everything to do with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows where God is valued in your life. You know what's funny is, one of the things that I get to do while I'm up here is I get to watch faces. Some of you got great faces. You can start seeing the smoke come out the nose, the eyeballs roll. People go like this. The question is still the answer. It is still the same value. It answers itself. Why does the church always want your money? And why is it about money? Why do they receive offerings at church? It's not because the church wants to propel certain people here or there. It's about value. This is us responding to God. And whether you like it or not, the fact is that how many of you like what you're sitting on? That's valuable. That's a $65 value. Every hiney is in $65. You see, we talk about him. Why God created tithing in the first place was to help, number one, was to honor him and to value him. That was with Abraham. But next was also to take care of the house, was to take care of the priests. You see, at His Tabernacle Family Church, we're an amazingly blessed church. Last year, we were so blessed, we were able to give over $230,000 to people in our community, whether it be local or foreign. We were able to minister, whether it be reaching out on Wednesdays and Thursdays and going into the community and giving food and giving Bibles and having all these events. All these things are to reach the lost at any cost. And I want you to know that we value our children. We value our youth, and we value those who have never had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We were so blessed in this house, and you know, this is where it always amazes me, because people's perceptions do not always make a reality. Well, that's a rich church, really. Glory to God. I love your prophetic words. Keep prophesying. But you know, this house, God bless us with this house. This house should have cost us about $140 a square foot. And God bless us with it for $25 a square foot from a Mennonite believer who wanted to get into building churches. We could never have afforded this building without God stepping in and doing his thing. Can I hear an amen? The chairs, the tables, the rugs, $35,000 in rugs that your feet are on right now. You're spilling your coffee on, glory to God. Sound system. To put this sound system in, it was a $180,000 sound system. Isn't that amazing? When you start looking at the signs and the paving, dear Lord, the paving. I about staggered at the painting, at the paving. We were reaching out to people and wanted to know what people's thoughts were that weren't born again, that weren't Christians, who were making this statement. Why does a church always ask for money? So we actually hired somebody. We paid somebody $100 who was not a believer to come to the church and to evaluate from the top of the driveway all the way through the whole service. What was amazing, we call it a secret shopper. What was amazing, the secret shopper went through the whole thing, and this is what their declaration was. We'll never be back. The worship was awesome. The word was awesome. But the statement was, I'd have to wash my car. That's when we had dirt in our parking lot. We'd have to wash our car after every time we come to church, and my wife, I'd have to buy her new heels every week. And so we said, God, we need paving. $250,000 later, we have paving on the ground. And that was a deal because we had believers in the house. You see, many times we don't understand that salvation is free, but the ministry is very expensive. And well, you know, the church is tax-free. I don't know where you all hearing this kind of stuff, but, you know, the church pays taxes, too. We have employee taxes, and we have disability tax, and we have all this other tax that we've got. We pay the same things. Listen, it's time for us to get back to a reality that this has nothing to do with money, but this has everything to do with value. And when we value what God has given us, then tithing, giving is no big deal. That's just the building. I'm excited about more, about all the outreach we're able to do, all the lives we're able to change. If you've never been here on a Wednesday night, it gets a little chaotic, but we're getting these children in that are raw, right off the streets. We're able to give them Jesus Christ. We're able to feed them food. When they don't have clothes, we're able to put clothes on their bodies. My wife was telling me a story in one of the classes she was in. There was a little boy who was in that room, and he had cheap sneakers, and all the rest of the kids were making fun of him. You know, they didn't have really expensive clothes, but they had real nice sneakers, and that was a big thing. They're making fun of this kid every single week, and they're mocking him, and he's crying. But my wife said, we've got to get him a pair of shoes, and we've got to get him a pair of sneakers. And somebody from this house that day had donated a pair of Nike really nice sneakers. And guess what? They perfectly were his size. We pulled him out of the classroom, put his shoes in those feet. He went back and he sat in that desk and he put his feet right up on the chair. It changes a life. When you're able to watch these children run to you and give you a hug and not want to let go or cuss you out. You see, this is the value that we have. Watching these teenagers come in with Pastor Cody, and we're watching literally, we've seen, I think this last year we had 3 or 4 young people graduate that might not have ever graduated high school. Going into college, all because you and I, we believe in the value of life. We believe in the value of love. We believe in investing in sowing. We believe in tithing. We believe in making sure that other people have the love that they need and they have what they need to get through in life so they can grow and mature and fulfill the destiny that God has for them. You see, you are so important. Ministry, this is so powerful. And when you see value, then tithing's no big deal. When you see no value, then why does the church always want my money? It's all about how you see. And whether you like it or not, we all see. And we all see according to what we see through our glasses. I've had many people say to me, well, you know, Pastor, I can't give because I don't have enough money. I challenge you to obey God. And the Bible says, give, and God will prove. This is the one place in the Bible that he says, if you'll tithe, I'll prove to you that I can take care of you. If God can't take care of you financially, then how could God ever take care of you spiritually? Are you out there this morning? See, this really isn't about an abuse situation. This really isn't about foolish spending situation. This really is about value issue. And today, this question is very simple. So why does the church always ask for money? Because we find value in changing lives. We find value that God is alive and not dead. We find value in the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. We find value in getting in a bus and driving downtown and spending fuel to pick up these children that would not be going to church. We find value in watching people come in early and getting food prepared and ready. We found value yesterday in the motorcycle community as even 3-piece patch men came into this building. We fed them. We spoke to them. We encouraged them. We gave them opportunity. Why did we buy the food? Why did we do this? Why did we do this? Why do people give their time? Why? Value. You people are worth every penny. Can I hear an amen or oh my? We've got to love people. You see, value is why, the real answer to the why. Because we all spend money. We all spend money. One of my favorite ones was a lady came into my office and she says, you drive too nice of a vehicle, Pastor. And I said, what? I said, I drive a pickup truck. She goes, you like a Cavalier or some small car like that. You know what she showed me? Value. My wife, she dresses really nice. She's a hot chick. Come here, Rhonda. She is a hottie, isn't she? Wispy hair. Look at the earrings. Woo, shine on. Her outfit is beautiful. You know what? She gets whatever she wants. I look at her, I say, if we got it, get it. And why do I do that? I value her. Oh, get off. My wife and I love to give to this house. We love to tithe. We don't. It's not a chore for us. We love to sow. In fact, it's always dangerous going wherever Bishop is. I love to sow. Why do we love to give? Why? Why does the church always ask for money? Because the church needs money to propel the gospel into places that other people cannot. It costs money to be on TV. It costs money to rock the city. It costs money. It costs money. It costs money to do uproar down in the arena. It costs money to fix the building. It costs money. I used to be afraid of asking for it. I really did. I was really timid. Oh, I'm over time. I'm sorry. We have to end. Let's all stand to our feet. Now you have answer for your friends. Why does the church always? I'm not going to church because all they want is your money. You look at him and say, no, it's value. You don't value God. You don't value God's kingdom. You don't value eternal life. You don't value helping other people. That's why you don't give. And today, maybe you're not a tither in the room. If we did numerical value, the majority of you are not tithers. And I challenge you to step out and start valuing the things of God more than valuing the things of the world. You'll find that God will always step up and bless you. My wife and I are so blessed, not because of you. You're not our source. God is our source. Amen? So today, if you'll bow your head with me this morning, today, if you do not know Jesus Christ, I want you to know He values you. He gave His all. He gave up all of His heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. He died on an old rugged cross, beaten to smithereens, and was put into a grave. Why? Because of value. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. He values you this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know it's time to see the value that He has in your life by giving Him your greatest value, which is yours. Today, if you do not know Jesus and you want Him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You need to get right with Jesus. Slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus for this house. We value You, God. We love You. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege of being givers in this place. Lord, You bless us with jobs. You bless us with opportunity, Lord, to gain more, even more finances. God, I pray for acceleration, Lord, in debt cancellation in Jesus' name. And many of the believers of the house, I declare, God, as they sow and as they tithe, they'll have money come from places they never even thought of. That, Lord, the world will look at them and say, ah, the church only wants money. And you can look and say, in Jesus' name, God is the one who gives me money. Father, I thank You that You are our source and our provider. No man, no government, no thing. And we give You the honor and the praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's around the front of the altar if you need prayer for anything. If you're a guest this morning, we're in the guest reception room. We'd love to meet you. Why? Why? It's the last why. We'll see you next week.
A chosen generation called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am.